All right, Shavuot, say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Ayin Dalet 74. We have a beautiful daf ahead of us today. So we are picking up. We are picking up at the two dots Ayin Gimel Amud Beis 73b. So Chot Chet Elu Chai Vekrisa. So remember again, the Gemara is continuing on the drasha that we had from the pasuk yesterday. Chet Elu Chai Vekrisos. Urminu, so the Gemara asked the Kasha. So as I remember again, the model that the Gemara was espousing yesterday was the idea that whenever the individual has a chet maves, whenever ultimately there's a death penalty hanging over his head, by definition there is no financial liability. Another application of kimle b'dirabamine. So first of all, our shir this morning is dedicated by Sayyid and Semehaken in honor of the month, in honor of the Yamim Noram and Ksir B'chassim of all of Klal Yisrael, by Adam Yudit Ben Zev, who are dedicating the month of Tishrei, and by Mr. Isaac Samuel, dedicating the month of Tishrei, the Talmud Torah, in memory of his beloved wife, Esther Basarav Yirachmiel Chagma Cohen. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, her Nesham will have an aliyah. So the Gemara says, Orminu, Ve'ilu Naro Sheish Len Kenas. These are the girls. If you violate them, there is a penalty. Haba'alach oso. So we'll say ultimately again, one of the examples is someone who has relations with his sister. So remember again, having relations with one sister is punishable by Misa. Yet the Gemara is still saying that the offender, right, the offender is still chayiv in mamon. So you see from here that even when you're chayiv in Misa, you'll still be chayiv in mamon. To which the Gemara says, Amra rabbana kamid rav chista, mishas ha'ra'a de pagma. To which the Gemara essentially says, Rabosai, that the liability occurs at two different times. When is he poging her? He's poging her at the beginning of the bia. At that point in time, where there is no financial liability, as opposed to Gimar Bia, by the end of the Bia, where there is a financial liability. So essentially what the Gemara is saying over here is that the Isurim come at two different times, right? The din of Mamon comes at the end of the Bia, versus, again, the Pagam, right? Or the Isur of incest becomes already at the beginning of the Bia. Hani Chalaman Damar Ha'arazu Neshika. So that makes sense according to the opinion who says that hara is the touching of the male and female reproductive organs. But according to the opinion who says that hara is literally what? Penetration. So then what is there to say? I will say that would appear then that the Isser and the Mammon come at the same time. To which the Gemara says, Elo amrav chista kikon shebala shelo kidarko, v'chazer v'ba'ubala kidarko. Rather, I'll say, what's the case? The case is where the first bia was shelo kidarko, and that's where there'll be the chi of Misa. Then the second time, ultimately, again, there'll be a chi of Mammon. Rava Amar, b'mani chasa shelo yihargeno. Rava says, what's the case? The case is where the sister is being attacked by the brother, and she tells others who stands ready to help her not to step in. Leave him alone because I don't want him to kill me. Rav Yehudi, and this affects the view of Rav Yehudi, are both a tap of Ayin Dalit. Rav Papa says, we're talking about over here. Remember, this is Rav Yehudi from yesterday's daf. Rav Yehudi from yesterday's daf holds that if a woman says, leave the attacker alone, and just let him attack me, that we listen to her because we understand that she is fearful of being killed. Rav Papa says, tap of Ayin Dalit, b'mefut of a divriyakol. That Papa says, what are we talking about over here? We're talking about a case of Mafuta. But say, a case of Mafuta is where the woman was seduced. In a case of Mafuta, ultimately, again, she is complicit in this act. And therefore, again, if she is complicit in this act, we have no right to kill the individual to, quote-unquote, save her. If we have no license to kill her, then by definition, he will be chayiv in mamon. So Abayis says, what's the case over here? Because the case over here is where we could save the woman by injuring the attacker in one of his limbs. In other words, we don't have to kill him in order to save her. So we'll say, the Gemara is suggesting over here something very interesting. That first of all, two things. Number one, whenever you have the ability to save someone by injuring the attacker, that is halachically preferable. Thank you. But whenever you could save the potential victim from harm by wounding the attacker, that becomes the obligation. And Rabbi Tzvi will say, remember, if it's a case where the victim could be saved by only wounding the attacker, then this is no longer a case of dinei nefashis. If it's no longer a case of dinei nefashis, then what? Then the attacker will be chayiv financially. So the Gemara says over here, Rabbi Yonasan ben Shaul, Desanya, Rabbi Yonasan ben Shaul Omer, Rodev, Sherodev achar chaveiro hargo, v'yachol lahatzilo bechmei barav. So we'll say, if Reuven's running after Shimon to kill him, and I see that I can injure Reuven, right? I can injure Reuven in a way that ultimately, again, will allow Shimon to escape, but doesn't require me to take Reuven's life, then that is my obligation. And what happens in the event, v'lo hitzil? I will say, what happens if at the end of the day, I choose not to injure Reuven, instead what? I kill him, then neharag alav. Rabbi will say, I am chayiv nisa. In other words, the idea, now obviously this is a very specific case where everything lines up in a way where it's clear that if I injure him, that halacha lemaisa, again, it will neutralize the threat. If I know I can injure him, and I have the ability to control, I guess, the makkah that I'm going to give to Reuven, and I can injure him, but instead I kill him, I am liable to a death penalty. Dechsev v'chi yinatsa nashim yachtov. Rabbi Elazar, because most of the pasuk over here is speaking about two men who are fighting. The nagfu ishahara, one of them bumps into or tramples upon a pregnant woman, and as a result, she miscarries. So the Torah speaks about again that there's liability for that. So Gemara darshins that pasuk. So the Gemara says, "V'kri natsu anashim." Rabbi Elazar b'mitzvas shebemisa kasov medaber. Torah speaking about a situation. Ultimately, again, I will say where someone could have been killed in order to stop them from harming the other. Dichsiv, ve'im ason yehiya, v'nasata nefesh tachas nefesh. Because also the pasuk explicitly says that if there's a tragedy, you will pay one life for the other. So what the Gemara understands over here is that this situation, as much as it's two people fighting with each other, at the end of the day, there is the capacity, ultimately, again, to kill someone. There's the capacity for someone to be killed. And therefore, what does the pasuk say? The pasuk says, "V'nasata nefesh tachas nefesh afilu haki." Nevertheless, Amar Achmana, v'lo yihya ason, anoshi anesh. Supposedly, listen to how the Gemara is darshaning this. The Gemara says, "V'lo yihya ason," which means, don't kill him if you don't need to kill him. Instead, just injure him, neutralize the threat. "V'lo yihya ason," right? No need to take the killer's life if it's not necessary. I should say, no need to take the pursuer's life if it's not necessary. Rather, anosh ye anesh. And we'll say, the great thing Gemara is darshaning this over here is anosh ye anesh means, if you could have neutralized the threat by simply injuring the pursuer, but instead what? You choose to kill him. You, now the killer of the pursuer, will be chayiv for that. So say, if you tell me the halacha is that when you could save the victim by injuring the pursuer, and you don't do so, that halacha lemaisa, again, you are chayiv for that. So the Gemara says, "Hanu d'mishkachos lo d'ya'anish." Then Rabbi said, "Now I understand what the pasuk is talking about, where it says that I can be punished." Kigon, what's the case where I? Rabbi said, "Remember, who am I? I'm the person who's stepping in to try to save the victim. When is there a case where I, the Good Samaritan, who's stepping in to try to save the victim, when would there be a situation where I would be chayiv?" Kigon, shiyachol ahotzel be'echa me'avar. Rabbi said, "What would be the case?" Rabbi said, "First wide line, where would be a case where I could save the victim by injuring the pursuer in one of his limbs, and I don't do so. If instead I kill him, the Torah is telling me that what? There's liability for that." So I said, "But if you tell me that even if at the end of the day I could have saved the victim by injuring the pursuer in one of his limbs, but instead I kill the pursuer, and you're going to tell me that even in that case I'm going to be potter, hechi mashkachos ladeye anesh." Then I will say, "What's the case of the pasuk when it says that sometimes I could be punished for taking the life of the pursuer?" To which the Gemara says, "Dilma shiny hachsa hasam, excuse me, shiny hacha, the misa lazeh v'tashlumin lazeh." I will say, maybe this case is different, because if I remember again, in this unique pasuk, there are actually two individuals, ultimately, again, who are hurt. So remember again, so it could be that Reuven is killing one person, but in the course of this tussle, he's bumping into the pregnant woman and causing her to miscarry. So it could be that there's a din misa towards one person. In other words, that Reuven was ready to kill Shimon. The pregnant woman was the unintended victim of this situation. So therefore, again, it could be that Reuven is going to be chayiv misa for Shimon, but ultimately, again, he would be chayiv mamon for the woman. So also remember, going back for just a moment, what we're really trying to figure out is, in a case where someone else is attacking someone in a way that would make them chayiv misa, will they also be chayiv mamon? The Gemara is trying to bring this as a raya. But then the Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe over here the difference is that the liability goes in two different directions to two different people, to which the Gemara says, Loshna, you can't make a distinction, because we don't look ultimately, again, at where the liability goes. Rather, what do we look at? Who a person is liable to. The Amar Rava, Rava said, Rodev Shai Rodev Achar Chavero. So listen to this. Reuven was running after Shimon, now presumably to kill him. Now what happened? V'shiber es akelim. And while the rodev is running after the nirdaf, so while the pursuer is running after the victim, the pursuer ends up breaking utensils. So we'll say, so what's the shayla? What's the shayla? Is the rodev chayiv for the breakage of those utensils? To which the Gemara says, bein shal nirdaf, bein shal kol adam pater. No. Well, it's actually very interesting. If as the rodev is running after the nirdaf, Reuven is running after Shimon to kill him, and Reuven tramples utensils, whoever those utensils belong to, right? Ultimately, again, Reuven is going to be pater. Why? My taima, mischayiv b'nafshohu. They will say, why is that? That is because Reuven is chayiv misa. So we'll say, why is Reuven chayiv misa? Because Reuven is actively running after Shimon to kill him. Reuven is a rodev. So because Reuven is a rodev, he's chayiv misa. Because he's chayiv misa, then what? Then what? He's going to be putter on the kalim that he breaks. Right? He's going to be putter. There's no din mamon when there's a din misa. However, on the other hand, the nirdav sheshibra es hakelim. But I will say, if let's say the person being pursued, we'll call him Shimon, is running away from Reuven, and he breaks utensils, so shall rodev putter. If he breaks the utensils, ultimately, again, of the rodev, he's going to be putter. Shall kol adam chayiv. But if he breaks utensils of other people, then ultimately he will be chayiv. So the Gemara says, shall rodev putter. Why is it ultimately, again, that he's chayiv for breaking the utensils of the rodev? Excuse me, putter for breaking the utensils of the rodev. Because we'll say, ultimately, again, the rodev's money shouldn't be any more important to him than his body. In other words, by running after Shimon, ultimately, again, he's putting himself in harm's way, because now anyone has the right to kill him. So his mamon cannot be more chamer than his guf. So therefore, again, the same way that everyone has the license to go out and take his life in order to save Shimon, so too, again, when the nirdav tramples his kalim, he's going to be putter for that as well. However, again, shall call adam chayiv. But I will say, can you imagine this case? So this is Reuven's running after Shimon. Shimon's running away from Reuven. Shimon, while he's running away, breaks Levi's utensils. What the Gemara is saying over here is that Shimon is going to be chayiv for that. He's going to be chayiv. Why? Shematzil atzmo b'mamon chavero. Because I will say, ultimately, again, it's actually a very important yisod. You can't save yourself through your friend's money. Or I should say, you can save yourself through your friend's money, but what? But what? You have to pay. So we'll say, so if Shimon is running away from Reuven, and he accidentally breaks, or intentionally, he starts throwing Levi's kalim, right, at Reuven, to stop Reuven from running after him. So ultimately, again, he's saving himself with someone else's money, he has to pay for that. Rodev shay rodev achar rodev latzilo. So listen to this. So, I'm sorry. I lost the place. Verodev shayarodev achar chavero lahotzilo. So listen to this. So I see Reuven running after Shimon to kill him. I start running after Reuven to kill Reuven, to stop him from killing Shimon. V'shibra sakelim. And in the course of me running after Reuven, who is the rodev, I end up smashing utensils. Bein shal rodev, bein shal nirodev, bein shal kaladam. Whoever's utensils, I go ahead and I break. I'm going to be potter. Why is that, I will say? If The truth is, that's not really the technical letter of the law. Shim ata omer kein, nimtza ein lecha adam shematzil es chaveru miyad harodev. So I'll say, the Gemara makes a very interesting statement. The Gemara says it has to be that way. Why? Because I will say, if I know that as by acting as a good Samaritan, there's going to be financial liability. Because suddenly again, I see Reuben running after Shimon. And therefore again, I want to step in. I want to kill Reuben and prevent him from harming Shimon. But I have to figure out, you know what? I have to run through this one's yard and that one's yard. And there was just here and there was just there. And it's going to end up costing me $1,000 to go ahead and save Shimon. What do I say to myself? I don't like Shimon that much. You know, he's a nice guy, but I don't have the money for that. Therefore, we'll say, this is like one of these Tikkun Olam ideas. We'll say, you know where you see a similar concept? You see a similar concept, at least in Halacha. I think contemporary malpractice law might be a little bit different. But Halacha shields doctors. So Halacha says that if a doctor comes to a scene and a doctor goes in and helps someone, a doctor cannot be found liable for any type of damages that he does. If there's gross negligence, and I say it's not just negligence, it's gross negligence, then Halacha L'maaseh again, so there could be some liability. But in the absence of gross negligence, even if there are mistakes, the doctor is covered by Halacha. We will say the same logic. The reason for that is because otherwise people won't want to help. Halacha understands that the only way people will help is if there is protection from legal recourse. But if every single time I step in to help something, someone could sue me or there's damages, then the halacha understands people aren't going to want to help. Gemara goes weiter. Aval, harodif achara behema. But remember again, we learned that if somebody's running after an animal to go ahead and commit an act of bestiality, we don't kill the individual. Tanya Rashbi Omer, ha'ovid avodos kochav mitlatzil b'nafsho. So Rav Shlomo Yochai says, it's not true. If we see someone about to worship idolatry, we kill them to save them from violating that avera. Mikavach Omer. So we'll say, what's the Kavach Omer? Uma pegam hedyot nitlatzil b'nafsho. Pegam guavolo kochoshkin rabose. If I could kill someone for preventing him from violating a nara ha'me'urasa, which is what we call a pegam hedyot. We'll say pegam hedyot means he's hurting an ordinary individual. And if he's going to hurt HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, by worshipping Avodah Zarah, Allah has come of a kama that I have the right to step in and to kill him. I, v'chi onshin min adin. But do we have the ability to go ahead and kill someone based on a Kavach Omer? Kasavra onshin min adin. Yes, I will say this opinion holds that you can't punish and you can't administer a punishment based on a Kavach Omer. Tanya, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Omer. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says, I'm a chalas HaShabbos, I'm not zila b'nafsho. But this is actually pretty wild. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says, if I see someone about to be machal Shabbos, I could kill them to prevent them from doing so. We'll say, remember again, by killing them to prevent them from doing so, at the end of the day, that's a schus for them. Right? I'm preventing them from violating an incredible Aveira. I'm sorry? So we're going to talk about that. So, Savarla Ka'avua. So, we'll say, he holds like his father. The Amar Onshin Minhadin, who says, we'll say, that you could derive punishments, even capital punishments, from a Kavachomer. The Asya Shabbos, Chilu Chilu Me'avodas Kochavim. And I also make a gzereshav of chilul chilul between Shabbos and Avodas Kochavim, just like we just said, that you could kill someone to prevent them from worshipping idolatry. You could also kill someone from preventing them from being a machal Shabbos. I'm going to be a chalashur b'shem yot tzadok, nimnu v'gamru ba'aliyas beis nisza b'lud. So we'll say, they came to a conclusion about this in Lud. Kolaver, so we'll say, this is a very important sugya. Kolaveru shebatora, im omrim la'adam avor va'al teharek, ya'avor va'al yeharek. I will say, if they say, threaten a person, and they say to a person, with any avera in the Torah, either commit this avera or we'll kill you. What's the halacha? I will say, you commit the avera. Chutz, me'avodas kochavim, v'gilei arayos, u'shvichus tarav. I will say, with three exceptions, the three cardinal averos. If somebody tells me, chas hashem, to worship idolatry, or engage in immorality, or engage in an act of bloodshed, then what? What's the halacha? The halacha is I have to sooner give my life than to violate it. So the Gemara says, "V'avodas kochavim lo." Is that true that you have to give your life rather than worship idolatry? V'atanya, we learned Amrei Bishma Minayim Amrei Lo Adam Avor Avod Avodas Kochavim V'Atiharek Minayim Shiavor Shiavol V'Ayiharek. Well, so how do we know that if they threaten the person, they told him either worship idolatry or we'll kill you? How do we know that he has to worship the idolatry and not let himself be killed? So the pasuk says, "Tamud Lomar V'Chay Bohem." Say the pasuk says that you shall live through them. Moshe wants us to live and not to die. So therefore, again, you see that you can even worship idolatry to save your life. So the Gemara says, one second. Yachal afilu befarhesya. You might have thought, Rabbi, said that this is even true in public. In other words, let's say somebody tells me to worship idolatry in public, or they're going to kill me. I would have thought that, again, Chayabam tells me I could even worship. Talmud Lomar, v'losechalu Hashem kodshi v'nikdashti v'nikdashti. Therefore, I will say, the Pasuk says, Rabbi Shalom says, do not go ahead and profane my name. So we'll say, at the end of the day, we don't paskin this way. We paskin that Avodah Zarah is one of the three cardinal averos for which you have to give your life. Right, and if a person, now again, the scope of that, when that is, what's considered avodah zarah, so that there's a lot of halachic literature. I'm not a topic for today. This other opinion, however, that says that no, even idolatry you can worship rather than give your life, also has limitations. For example, if this act of idolatry is going to happen in public, befarhesya, then it is not just avodah zarah. Then there's chilul Hashem, desecration of God's name. When there's a desecration of God's name, you certainly have to give your life rather than worship. So the Gemara says, "Inu d'amr k'rabbi Lazar, heals the k'rabbi Lazar." Desanya, k'rabbi Lazar, "Amr v'yahavta sashal kecha b'chal v'avicha b'chal nafshcha b'chal maldecha." But say, beautiful Gemara, you have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of your heart, all of your soul, and b'chal maldecha. And we'll say, for our purposes right now, maldecha means with all of your means. With all of your means, with all of your money. In Nemar b'chol nafshkalam, in Nemar b'chol maldecha. If it's already told me that I have to love God with all of my life, which presumably means what? That I have to stand ready to even give up my life for God. So if it's already told me that, then why does it have to say with all of my money? V'im Nemar b'chol maldecha, lama Nemar b'chol nafshcha. To which the Gemara says, "Im yesh lecha adam, im yesh lecha adam shekufa chaviv alav mimamono, lekach ne'emar b'chol nafshcha." We'll say, so some people, life is more important than their money. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you have to love me with all of your heart. Which means that even Chas HaShem, if you have to give your life for me, you have to stand ready to do so. We'll say, there are some other people whose money is more important to them than their life. And therefore, again, the Torah says, B'choma odecha. Ultimately, again, with all of their money. Gilei Arayo, so we'll say, you see from here, the point of bringing down this thing, besides the fact that it's beautiful, is that from Bahavtas Hashem Elokecha, we also learn that love of God means, Rashi says, that you may not switch HaKadosh Baruch Hu with any other deity. So from here we would also see that Avodah Zarah is a Yeharik Vayavar. So just an interesting machlokes, where everybody seems to agree on Gilei Arayos and Shlichus Damim, the machlokes about Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara goes right to Gilei Arayos Shlichus Damim, Kedi Rebbe. So we'll say, where do we learn about Gilei Arayos Shlichus Damim? We learn from Rebbe Kedisat and Disanya, Rebbe Omer, Ki Kasha Yakum Ish Arayu V'Ratzchol Nefesh. We'll say, the Pasuk says, just like a man will rise up against another one and murder him. So the Pasuk says, and murder him. So the Gemara says, Kein Hadavar Hazeh. So we'll say, what are we learning out from this case of the murderer? We'll say, it turns out that this came to teach us something, but we end up ultimately again learning something. So we're going to compare the rotzeach to the nara amurasa. Ma nara amurasa nitnatzi l'benafsho. We'll say, just like we know that in order to save the nara amurasa from being violated, you could kill the offender, right? You could kill the perpetrator. So therefore, again, af rotzeach. You can go ahead and you can kill him in order to prevent him from going ahead and committing the act. And I learn out now, I compare Nara Muras to Rotseach also. Just as an act of murder is Yarek Vayavar. If somebody tells me Chas Shalom, either kill Ruvain or I'll kill you, I have to sooner give my life than take the life of another. Af Na'araham Me'urasa. Therefore, I will say, so to what? So to if a woman is going to be violated, or if a man is forced to violate Nara Murasa, which I will say is an act of adultery, I have to sooner give my life than commit that act. To which the Gemara says, one second. Rotzeach gufe minalan. You just made a statement that murder is Yeharik Valyavor. Where do you know that from? That I have to sooner give my life than take the life of another? So the Gemara says, Svarahu. This is amazing. It's actually a svara. What's the svara? Tahuda asla kamedirav amalei amali mar doroi. So we'll say there was a man who came before Rabba, and he said to Rabba, mar doroi. We'll say the local governor said to me, zil katli laplanya, vilo katlina lacha, vilo katlina lacha. The governor said to me, he said to me, go and kill Reuven, and if you don't kill Reuven, I'm going to kill you. What did Rabbi say to this man? Amar le liktalach velo sikto. You have to let yourself be killed and not chas shalom kill someone. Mi yemar de dama didach sumak tvei. Dilma dama dehu gavra sumak tvei. Who says that your blood is redder? Maybe the other guy's blood is redder. So we'll say, Rabbi says, essentially, it's svara. What license does one person have to take the life of someone else in order to preserve his own? When do we say that in general? We'll say, so the Gemara made a statement before, and the statement was that in general, if somebody tells you, violate a particular Avera, or I'm going to kill you, then what's the halacha? You violate. Okay, there are three exceptions, machlokas about avodah zara, but that's the general rule. That's the general rule. So we'll say, so where do I know that from? Where do I know that in general, again, the Gemara said v'chai bohem, but the Gemara says, let's analyze this. Where do we know that in general, if somebody tells you to violate an avera, you do so, and it's what we call ya'avor va'al yeharig. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, I said that wrong. So Rav Dimi, who subscribes to this idea, that in general, by all the other averos, we say ya'avor va'al yeharig. How do I know that there are exceptions to that rule? Lo shanu ela shlo b'shas gzeres malchus. Aval b'shas gzeres malchus, afilu mitzvah kala yehorig v'ayavar. And we'll say, when is that true? That is true when there is not a gzeres malchus. We'll say, when the Gentile government is actively launching a campaign to undermine Yiddishkeit, so then Rabbi will say, that's called shas gzeres malchus. At a time like that, I have to give my life even for a mitzvah kala. In other words, when it's clear that there's a coordinated attack against my religion, and these things are unfolding on a governmental level, I have to give my life rather than violate even the smallest of mitzvos. So the Gemara says, "Feel mitzvah kala yeharik va'al yavor ki asa." Rabbi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, "Filush lo b'shas gzeres malchus lorma elu b'tzina." Furthermore, again, I will say another qualification. Rabbi Yochanan says, when we said that in general we hold ya'avor ve'al yeharig by mitzvos kalos, so we'll say that's only true. B'tzina, that's only true where you're violating these averos in private. Aval b'farhesia, but I will say to violate even a quote-unquote small avera, even at a time when there's not governmental persecution, is going to be asra. If you do mitzvah kali yehorig val yavar. I will say, if I'm being forced to violate in public, even if it's not a time of gzeres malchus, and even if it's just an avera kala, or mitzvah kala, I still have to go ahead and give my life. Yehorig va'al yavar. So says, by the way, my mitzvah kala, the Gemara keeps using this term of a mitzvah kala. What's a mitzvah kala? Amarav arbari Rav Yitzchak amarav afilu l'shanuye arkisa demasana. Even if the Ovdei Kochavim are getting me to try to change my shulis. We'll say, what does that mean? So let's say again, Gentiles wear one kind of shulis. Jews wear a different kind of shulis. So again, that's a mitzvah kala. Under normal circumstances, the Gentile comes over to me and says, change your shulis, I'm going to kill you. I say, okay, right? Okay, yeah, I'll change my shulis. And we'll say, so again, what the Gemara saying over here is the following. If it's clear that this is part of a systematic approach to undermine Yiddishkeit, then I have to give my life for it. I can't participate in anything that is part of a systematic undermining of Yiddishkeit. And number two, if the Gentile is going to make a public display of this, look, the Jew is willing to change his shoelace to yield to the Gentile. And the Bible said this is taking place by Farhesia, even though again this is a mitzvah kala, the Gemara is suggesting ultimately again that I have to give my life. Now obviously in the Farhesia piece, and also in the systematic piece, they become elements of Chil Hashem associated with this. The Kama Farhesia, so says the Gemara, by the way, how much is public? Right? What's the definition of Farhesia? What's the definition of public? So I'm Rabbi Yaakov, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Ein Farhesia v'chusim e'asara b'nei Adam. I will say, so Farhesia is 10 people. Pshita Yisraelim Bayina. And I will say, you know, this goes against, by the way, every single piece of instruction we all received before any school trip. Right? So I will say, so right, if you went to any, right, self-respecting yeshiva. So what happened before he went on a school trip? What was the speech? I don't know, maybe you went to different yeshivas. Right? Don't make a chal Hashem. Right? That was always, don't make a chal Hashem. Right? People are going to see you. We're going out amongst other people. It's not in the yeshiva. Don't make a chal Hashem. So just so you understand, the point was well taken, but halachically inaccurate. On a technical level, Chil Hashem is a din by Jews. Chil Hashem is not a din by non-Jews. So when we see over here that if a Gentile is trying to go ahead and get me to change something in my Yiddishkeit, even a mitzvah kala, v'farhesya, farhesya means in front of 10 other Jews. Pshita Yisraelim b'inan dichsev, v'niktashti b'sof b'nei Yisrael. Because we also say the pasuk says, I will be sanctified within the midst of the Jewish people. Right, I'm sorry. Actually, we'll say we're going to see this Gzeir Shava. Nikdash, this pasuk by itself doesn't help me. It just, this pasuk talks about the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, and by extension, the Isra of Chil Hashem. We're going to make the drush of Toch Toch in just a little bit. What happens if you have 9 Jews and 1 non-Jew? Could that form a proper quorum for Chil Hashem purposes? Tashma detani Rabbi Yanai, Achud Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Asya Toch Toch. We also make a gzir shav of toch toch. Ksif hacha, v'nik dashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. So it says over here, I will be sanctified in the midst of the Jewish people. Uksif hasam, hi badlu mitoch ha'ida hazos. So we say, it says by Korach, said Kashmav says to Moshe Rabbeinu, separate yourself from this Eda. Right? So gzir shav of toch toch. Ma lahalon asara v'kuli Yisrael. Well, said just like now. Again, I'll just tell you one other interesting thing. There's one more piece of this Gzeir Shav the Gemara brings out elsewhere. The Gemara then makes a second part of this Gzeir Shav of Eda from Korach to the Meraglim. And just like by the Meraglim, Eda represents 10. So too again, Eda represents 10. And so you have a twofold. It's Toch Toch Eda. Ma lahalon asara v'kuli Yisrael. Just like over there, it was 10, and they were all Jews. Afkon asara v'kuli Yisrael. Therefore, I will say by Nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael, it was also. So what? 10? And they were all Jews. So we'll say, so again, and that indeed is halacha lemais. Just you should, well, I don't want to tell you the halacha lemais yet because we still have more to do. But again, even if you hold that you have to give up your life for a mitzvah kala, that you're being forced to go ahead and perform or to violate b'farhesya, farhesya means 10 Jews. So the Gemara will say, this is such an incredible sugya. How Esther farhesya havi? 1 second. But how was Esther Hamalka permitted to go ahead and live with Ahasuerus? We'll say, was this not a public display of arayos? Remember again, everyone knew why a woman was taken to the palace, and everyone knew what was happening between Esther and Ahasuerus when she was his wife. Is that not gilei arayos? Is that not ultimately, again, immorality? And Esther, essentially what the Gemara is saying over here is, why didn't Esther give her life? Why didn't Esther give her life? To which the Gemara says, well, said this, and by the way, this sugya, Nebuch, has such incredible halacha lemaisa applications throughout the years. There's an incredible tosis here, which we're not going to get to today. No, we're not going to get to it today. But you'll look at it on your own. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, the Gemara gives 2 answers. Number one, Esther karka olam haisa. Esther was passive in the act of relations. Now, both say, now what does that mean? So this is an incredible use of what Abaye is saying is the following. When do we say Yeharig Va'al Yavar? When do we say Yeharig Va'al Yavar? When by giving up your life, you will not have to perform the act. So if someone comes over to me and says, Silver, kill Reuven or I'm going to kill you. And I say no. So by saying no and refusing, then what? That prevents the act from materializing. Then at the end of the day, the act does not go forward. If halacha lemaisa, the act is going to happen anyway, then I'm not, as long as I'm not active in the act, I am not chayiv to give my life. So what Abaye says is that Nebuch, Rachmana Litzlan, if somebody threatens a woman with immorality, she could say no all she wants. He can violate her. So because he can violate her, therefore what? She's not mechuyeves to give up life. So when Abaye says, Esther karka olam aysa, it means she was passive in the act. We'll say, by the way, the mefurshe raya to this is in the Megillah. Remember again, the most dramatic part of the Megillah, when Mordechai says to Esther what? You have to go to the king. You have to go to the king. And what does Esther say? Read into Levecha. So the Gemara says, what does this mean? So Pasha Pshara, she's saying, I wasn't invited to the king. I'm going to go ahead and potentially be killed. The Gemara says, remember again, there's a machlokis about the nature of the relationship between Mordechai and Esther. So some say that Esther was Mordechai's wife. This whole time, there's the possibility of reunification because she's karka olam. She's essentially, again, being violated. Therefore, again, it's not a rayos. So she says, my dear husband, I'll do this to save Klal Yisrael, but you understand that if I initiate contact now with him, this becomes arayos. And once it becomes arayos, I become usher to you through this act of adultery, which, by the way, is a different discussion that Esther Amalka is the paradigmatic example of an Avera Lishma, which, again, don't try this at home. Don't try this at home. But again, there is a concept like this of an Avera Lishma, specifically in situations, ultimately, again, of Hatzalah for Klal Yisrael. We see it by Esther Amalka. We saw it again by the Haftarah on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, by Ya'el and Sisra. We see this concept. So the Gemara says over here, why wasn't Esther Michuyeves to give up her life for the act of Arayos? Because she was Karkolim. Rava Amar Rava says, Hanoas Atzman Shaini. So let's say this is actually amazing. Rava says, it's also different. When do we say that a person has to give up their lives, ultimately again for these Aderos? When there's a clear desire on behalf of the person who's forcing me to do these things to try to go ahead and get me to violate the tenets of my religion. But when there's not really a religious battle over here, there's just desires at play, then what? Then I'm not mechuyev to give up my life. So Rava suggests over here, Achashverosh, if you look at Rashi Anos Atzmo, Shino Bekochav Miskavin Laviro Miros, Elanos Atzmo Miskavin Shaini, Benkan Chel Hashem Nari Kach. So we'll say, Achashverosh's intention with Esther Amalka was not to go ahead and get her to violate her Judaism. Remember again, he doesn't even know who she is. So Lema says again, what's at play over here? His desires are at play. When there's not, when forcing me to commit an Avera is not there to get me to override my religious sensitivities, then Lamaisik and Rava suggests one is not mechuyev to give up their life. Now, interestingly enough, Rava gives examples of this. Because if you don't hold this way, apparently Rashi points out that the Persians used to have a yomtiv in their bate kinesios, where what? They would go home to home collecting lamps, like lanterns, and you'd have to donate a lantern that they would place in their house to have all the Zara. So the Gemara says, I don't understand, how were the Jews permitted to participate in that collection? Aren't they contributing to Avodah Zarah? To which the Gemara says, Ela hanos atzman shayni. Here's the thing, the Persians weren't trying to get the Jews to convert. Rather, what did they want? They just wanted the lantern. They wanted the lamps. Meaning, they didn't want to have to spend all the money on providing all of the lamps. So they figured, just get it from the Jews. But there was no concentrated effort of getting the Jews to convert. Therefore, again, there's no need to give a halacha. Nami anos atzman shayni. V'azra b'latam. Let's listen to this. With this, we'll stop. Do'amar Rava, akum do'amar le'laha Yisrael, katul aspasta b'shabsa b'shadu l'chiyusa. Let's listen to this. If an akum, a Gentile, says to a Jew, cut down this aspasta. We'll say aspasta is a plant. Cut down this plant on Shabbos and feed it to the animals. So we'll say, so obviously this is under the threat of death. So the Gentile's telling me, if I don't cut down the plant, which is an Isra D'oraisa on Shabbos, he's going to kill me. But he's telling me to cut it down and to feed it to the animals. So what's that, Lacharabosai? V'lo katlimecha, if you don't do it. If you don't do it, ultimately, again, I'm going to kill you. Right? I'm going to kill you. So what's that, Lacharabosai? I'm sorry. Likdil v'lo likdelay. Ultimately, again, cut it down. Right, cut it down, and don't allow yourself to be killed. So, right, we're going to see a distinction in just a moment. Shadi lenara, let's say the Gentile tells me what? Cut down the aspas, then throw it into the river. Then what? Lick the lay below lictal. Ultimately, in that case, I have to allow myself to be killed and not cut down the aspas. So we'll say, what's the difference in these two cases? My timer, lavure milsakai. We'll say, what's the chilik? You see, when the Gentile is telling me to cut down the aspas and feed it to his animal, what's his motivation? Right, for his animal. He doesn't want to do the work. So he happens to have a Jew at his disposal. He'll take advantage of the Jew. It's my Shabbos. The Gentile doesn't care so much about that. But it's clear that he's utilizing me in a way that benefits him. Hanos Atzman. Mashaykin, if he tells me to go and cut down the aspas and throw it into the river, then his intention is what? His intention is to get me to violate the tenets of my faith. Oh, that you want to do? That I can't allow. So I will say, so therefore again, we begin to see over here, so I'm going to stop over here, but I will say, what we begin to see over here is the following. Number one, Three Averos that are Yehurik Val Yavor. We have a Machlokes about Avodah Zarah. Normally, Mitzvos Kalos, you could violate. You don't have to give your life. We see exceptions to that if it's Farhesya, or if it's clear that the intention is to get the Jew to violate the tenets of his faith. We now begin to see major exceptions, that even with the Gimel Chamuros, it will say, if either, like in a case of Arayos, it's Karka Olam, Tosfos points out, obviously Karka Olam only works for a woman, Karka Olam does not work for a man, but at least by Arayos, when it comes to a woman could potentially save her life by being passive in the act of Arayos, and Hanas Atzman, if it's clear that the purpose of the Gentile is not to make me violate the tenets of my faith, but instead is his own benefit, then Halacha L'maaseh would appear that in those cases we would not say Yehareg Val Yavar. So we'll stop over here. We'll pick up with Boi tomorrow. Boi Minei.